Jason, the Bears played a game which meant they lost in weird fashion. We'll debate and discuss the latest heartbreaker and what it means for Matt Eberflus. All that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, the Bears lost 23-20 to the Lions, which on the face of it sounds somewhat competitive and
commendable,
given that the Lions are probably the best team in football. But the way they did it is putting Matt Eberflus in the crosshairs yet again. There's a lot to get into, but we'll start here. The clock ran out on the Bears, and they still had a timeout left. That's where we are at this point.
Cannot happen. No one would dispute that. Matt Eberflus wouldn't dispute that. That cannot happen.
Mm-hmm.
What Matt Eberflus would dispute is whose fault it is. Right. And I don't think there's a lot of people lining up on his side of saying, as he did after the game, Patrick, that everything was handled correctly in a scenario in which the clock ran from 32 seconds left. This is with the game on the line and the Bears threatening to pull off this incredible comeback and upset in Detroit. Let the clock run from 32 seconds down to 6 between plays, and the game ends on an incomplete pass as time expired. Matt Eberflus still has the timeout in his pocket as we record this, I think. It's next to his keys.
Let's walk through the setup here, Jason. The Bears get the ball at their own 1 with about 3.5 minutes to play. Caleb Williams.
Inside their own 1. Caleb Williams to get the full credit for how impressive this was, because this was a daunting situation trying to pull this off.
Caleb Williams marches them down the field. They get to midfield at the 2-minute warning, and through a series of fortunes and misfortunes, end up 1st and 10 at the 25 with 46 seconds to play. He throws an incomplete.
So at that time, field goal is in hand to tie the game. Chip shot field goal is in the bank.
Provided it does not get blocked. Yes. Incomplete pass on 1st and 10. 2nd down. 12-yard completion to Keenan Allen that gets him out of bounds at the 13. And if you're the Bears, you're living right. You go, oh, my God, we got 1st and 10 at the 13, and the clock stopped. But no, Tevin Jenkins gets popped for illegal hands to the face because a Lions player's helmet is detached from his head. That moves the Bears back. Instead of at the 13, the Bears are now at the 35-yard line, 2nd and 20. They actually call a quarterback draw, and Za'Darius Smith gets in so fast that Caleb Williams just has to eat it. He gets sacked for a loss of 6, and now the clock is running. The Bears wide receivers are running back to the line of scrimmage. Matt Eberflus is standing there with a timeout, not using it. Caleb Williams is doing all sorts of crazy things with his hands. Gets everybody lined up about 13 seconds to play. And decides to change the play because they're running out of time. At least changes Roma Dunze's route to send him deep. By the time he snaps the ball, or he gets the ball snapped to him, there's 6 seconds to play, and the Bears are, I believe the word is, screwed.
I don't remember if this was on the podcast or off mic. We were talking about Curb Your Enthusiasm, and they do a whole episode on the phrase, having said that. So you say one thing,
mm-hmm.
and then you say what really needs to be said after that.
Right.
Can you give us a having said that? Can you give us something about Caleb Williams? Having said that, something about Matt Eberflus?
Caleb Williams was really good in the second half, but Caleb Williams needs to move faster and have the ball snapped to him the minute everybody's ready.
1,000% agree.
Having said that, Matt Eberflus is the one with the 30-some-odd years of football experience, standing on the sideline with the timeout in his hand, knowing that Caleb Williams probably doesn't have the authority to take one on his own. Matt Eberflus needs to be savvy enough to bail his quarterback out, and he did not do that.
Nailed it.
Yep.
Before we go on, I just want to say, for the record, this is not revisionist history, but at the time, I wanted fellow bald Dan Quinn in 2022. I don't feel like this all would be happening under Dan Quinn.
I always root for the best press conference, or the best daily press conference, not win the press conference.
Well, so you're a big Thomas Brown guy at the moment.
Yeah, Dan Quinn would have at least been more fun for us.
You can't put it on your rookie quarterback. This is the second time in 2 weeks, Pat, the second consecutive game where Matt Eberflus's poor judgment, mismanagement, inattentiveness, some combination of those things, has put the onus on his 23-year-old quarterback
mm-hmm.
to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And last week against Minnesota, it was a 4th and 4 in which Matt Eberflus had so much confusion on his sideline that the kicking team was running out as the offense was out there trying to go for it, and the play gets botched, the play call gets botched, and Caleb Williams has to just get to the line and say, okay, we're running out of time. I don't think this is the play we want to run, but it's what we're running. I need to figure out which of these wide receiver matchups is the best and try to make it work. This week, yes, Caleb Williams should have done things a little bit better, but he's a rookie. He's 23. This is his 12th game.
Right.
He tells you after the game, essentially, he was of the belief it's above his pay grade to take the timeout in that situation. It's Matt Eberflus's job. It is his job to manage that clock better. It is his job to realize once it's under 10 seconds, there's a big problem. Caleb realizes it. Caleb, for even whatever were the actions that led to that, Caleb realizes at that time, oh, this is going to be our last play now. We need to do something deeper down the field and go try for the win. Matt doesn't realize it.
No.
Matt doesn't call the timeout. Anything would have made more sense than what they did, than the way this game ended. Cairo Santos has never in his life made a 58-yard field goal, which is the distance it would have been here. That makes more sense to me, trying that, than what they ended up doing.
They could have banged a timeout at the line of scrimmage with 13 seconds left, taken a shot down the sideline and kicked a field goal. And we probably would have, unless they had made it, we probably would have sat there and been like, what sort of moron takes a timeout with 13 seconds left when there's 36 originally? But boy, what sort of moron doesn't take one at all?
You're having to make the best decision out of bad options. I mean, there is no perfect answer there, but I know what the least perfect answer was, and it's what we saw play out. And
here's what Caleb Williams says, and I quote, "You can't always make the right play. You have to make a decision and go with it."
Yeah.
It's a rookie quarterback. He shouldn't be having to make those decisions.
Now, Caleb and Matt are headed up very opposite directions. Mm-hmm. Caleb has looked great.
Yep.
To me, for a rookie.
First half wasn't so good today.
He has looked for three games very good in general and great for a rookie against three pretty good defenses. Mm-hmm. This defense that he saw Thursday in Detroit, very likely playing in the Super Bowl this year. Matt, on the other hand, this is not a one-off. They're on a six-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. And in that, you have the dysfunction and disorder on the Hail Mary play in Washington. You have the botched sequence at the end leading to a blocked field goal against the Packers. Mm-hmm. And you have this. And, you know, you can throw in various other things from right before halftime against Arizona or whatever you want to pick apart from the end of the Minnesota game. I'm still not letting go of that 4th-and-4 debacle. And, Pat, this history that he has of poor game management and bad in-game decisions, bad game operations, it's been going on the whole time.
Yep.
This is 3 years.
With better stewarding of the game in the game, this is a team that could have 3 or 4 more wins. And then it's a different conversation. Then it's what they thought it would be, which is a team that competes for the outer edges of the playoffs while their quarterback keeps improving. And, you know, there were times today, Jason, when, boy, that quarterback looked to be the reason you win. In the first half, he wasn't. He was 5 for 15. The Bears had 2 first downs. I think the Lions had 17. But in the second half, Caleb Williams' numbers were ridiculous. Can I read them to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Please do, because he was a disaster at halftime.
Yeah, an absolute disaster. Second half, 15 of 24 for 222 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a 132.3 passer rating.
And we just almost get tired of saying it. He, when the game is on the line, mm-hmm. and his back is literally, quite almost literally, against the wall here.
Right.
I mean, his heel is – I mean, he's probably standing in that – we're looking down at the field right now. He's probably standing in that end zone, that blue end zone down there, as he takes the snap to begin that final drive. Mm-hmm. For a chance to tie or win and shock everybody in a nationally televised game against the best team in the league.
Yep.
The best team in the league. You talked about the conversation we could be having. Let's talk about the conversation that we are having, that they are having in Halas Hall. It is 100% on the table. It is a possibility. And this has not been true before. It is a possibility that they fire Matt Eberflus after this game. It is a possibility that what we saw in Detroit was the final scene of the Matt Eberflus era.
What do you think need? What is the standard for making a change?
What's the criteria? Yeah. It's not to save the season at 4-8. That's done.
Right.
It is, I think the criteria is, have the results and the performance been so egregiously bad that you can't tolerate it?
Okay.
Has it reached a point where the locker room does not believe in this guy anymore, and thus it's unsuitable work conditions for these players? And thirdly, is it so inevitable and so clearly going to happen that it's better for everyone to not delay what is necessary? Those would be the three criteria. I'd say you can check off all three right now. Yeah. All three are the case.
I do, with varying degrees of certainty, yes. I mean, obviously, I think anybody watching and paying attention knows that Matt Eberflus isn't going to coach this team next year. I think he knows. Yeah, whether you think running him out there is cruel, I think is a different question.
Well, that's an offshoot kind of what I'm telling you. Is, you know, this is what they did to Matt Nagy 3 years ago.
Right.
Basically, this time 3 years ago, it couldn't have been clearer that he was headed out, mm-hmm. that they were going to fire him, and they kept him mm-hmm. and trotted him out there, what, four times a week?
Yeah.
To a microphone, and then on the field on Sundays to keep coaching this team when everyone, including him, knew it.
Right.
We knew it. He knew it. It was so clear. And that was ugly. It was a little bit cruel.
Yeah.
It put Matt Nagy in a totally, like, just impossible spot where, I mean, I'll speak for myself, I was feeling bad for him at the end.
Right.
You're just beating him over his head with his failures every week, and he's sitting there saying, you're right.
You're right.
You're right.
Yeah, gotta be right.
You're right.
Yeah.
And they were a joke mm-hmm. around the league for doing that.
Right.
There were a lot of reasons not to go on with that charade. Go ahead. Sorry. That's what they would do right now if they kept Eberflus.
How does the quarterback get better if you change coaches?
I don't know that the coach has anything to do with the quarterback. You know, it's possible a different coach, the quarterback might have won today. I mean,
yeah,
it's possible he wouldn't have had the same hindrances that he had on that 4th-and-4 against the Vikings. It's possible they get a win against Green Bay. It's possible his last-minute touchdown in Washington, in his hometown, doesn't become barely a footnote on what is going to go down as the greatest and most embarrassing play of the NFL season. I mean, those things are factors. But don't you think there's something to say for the fact of any of these options, Pet?
Mm-hmm.
One, show as an organization that you just don't tolerate this.
Right.
This is just not acceptable. We're not going to go along with this because we have a 100-year tradition of going along with this even when the ship has sailed. And two, maybe you owe it to your players. Maybe you owe it to this locker room to be like, you know what? We hear you guys.
Right.
We're not going to make you endure any more of this.
But if you have a lot, yes, these are all valid points. I think if you have a locker room full of veterans who now are being monitored by Richard Hightower for the rest of the season, I'm not sure you're going to get the best production out of your veterans that way. Maybe at some point you don't want that production. Maybe at some point you go in the last 2 or 3 weeks, hey,
more losses, the better.
Yeah, the more losses, the better. I also, and I don't think either of us thinks that Thomas Brown would be the interim coach.
They shouldn't do that. But I know that everyone loves Thomas Brown. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Sorry to cut you off.
No,
is that right?
That's where I was going.
Okay. Well, do you want to do it?
No.
Okay. We've been totally impressed with Thomas Brown.
Mm-hmm.
On the field, off the field. I don't know if you had the same experience, but when we were talking to him at OTAs or rookie mm-hmm. minicamp or something back in May, immediately thought,
yeah,
this is a guy headed the right way and has been a head coach candidate before he ever got here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not, like, profound.
Right.
Neither the Bears nor us discovered Thomas Brown. So as impressive as he's been and as great as he would be in the front of the room running the team, I couldn't imagine that he would be the interim coach because you don't touch anything. You don't tinker with a thing that's working for Caleb Williams right now.
Yeah, this seems to be going right for Caleb Williams. And I just don't think making any changes would benefit him in that regard.
He's your future.
Yeah.
You know what was the biggest thing that happened today? Is he takes that shot to his knee and he comes out and says, it's okay.
Yeah.
My knee's okay.
Right.
There's nothing more important than that happened today. So you don't pull Thomas Brown's attention off of that in the least by making him interim head coach. Everything about your future rides on Caleb Williams. it's finally working. This very fragile thing, Patrick, is working. Don't touch it.
Do you think leaving a rookie quarterback with a substitute teacher as a head coach is good for the quarterback?
No. It's not. Do you think this is good for the quarterback?
I think at least there's a veil of authority that Matt Eberflus has. Oh, don't make a face at the word veil.
No, it's at least plausible that he
helps control Caleb's future. Certainly more plausible than Richard Hightower doing it. I wonder whether everybody gives up with an interim coach, or at least acknowledges that nothing we do right now is going to matter nearly as much as what we do the minute OTA start or minicamp starts in the spring.
By being 4-8, it's already happened. Yeah. They're already on separate tracks.
Yeah.
Matt's on his own track. The season is on its own track. Those tracks are parallel, actually. Caleb's track is separate. Mm-hmm. The offense is separate. I mean, they are already basically operating as separate entities,
right,
in my mind at this point. So what difference does it make if they're going to basically run forward as two teams, as an offense and a defense, under whatever interim coach? I will tell you, it's definitely going to be considered, and possibly has happened by the time that you listen to this. And part of it, a factor in it, is that the next game is not until December 8th.
That's why you do it.
You have a little bit of a break here to make a change and reorganize and start fresh come Monday, getting ready for the San Francisco
game. They have a similar game the day after Christmas that, at least as it's scheduled right now, would give them 10 days until the game after that. I would circle that as well as a possibility, just because then it's that much closer to the end of the season. And, you know, I mean, my only question in that scenario would be, are the McCaskies going to fire somebody the day after Christmas? Like, as dumb as it sounds, like, that's a real thing. And, you know, are they going to fire somebody the day after Thanksgiving or on Thanksgiving night? I think that's a real question, too.
I think what happens with Matt Eberflus at this point tells you who's in charge.
Yeah.
And George McCaskey owns the team. Mm-hmm. But in what we were told is that that's all he does.
Right.
Ryan Poles runs football operations. Kevin Warren runs the Chicago Bears in all facets. Buck stops with him.
Do you want Kevin Warren making the football decision, or do you want Ryan Poles making the football decision?
I want Ryan Poles making the decision under Kevin Warren's authority and no one else involved.
Yeah, I think that's the answer. Is you want Ryan Poles to justify a decision to Kevin Warren, who then goes, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, that would be a perfect execution of Ryan Poles' job and Kevin Warren's job. Yeah.
I'll give you one more thing, then we'll get out of here. We talked.
Oh, I got to give you the splits.
Oh, give me the splits. Go.
So this is just in the last 2 years.
Okay.
This is if we very generously tell Matt Eberflus that first year is a mulligan, it doesn't count. We know it was a roster teardown. 11-18 now the last two seasons, Patrick. Tell me how much each of these makes you want to vomit on a scale of 1 to 10. 2-12 on the road.
Okay.
How much?
8.
Okay. 2-7 in the NFC North.
9.
This one's going to hurt you. 1-13 the last two seasons against teams that finished with a winning record last season or currently have one in 2024.
Who was the one?
The one was Detroit last year, right?
Yeah.
At Soldier Field?
I like the one that he hasn't won on the road on a Sunday. That's a good stat.
When you lose this much,
yeah,
when you're 14-32, you can carve up all kinds of, you know, kind of obscure splits like the one you just mentioned. Never won a road game on a Sunday.
Yeah, it all looks bad. We'll get to this and then we'll get out of here, Jason. Players seemed baffled in the locker room about kind of the way it all went down. Is that a sign that Eberflus has lost them, or is that a sign that they just sat there and went, what the hell just happened to us, and were reacting viscerally in the way that they probably should?
I think it's that he's lost them. Yeah. And I think it lost them. What I mean by that is not that guys are going to go out there and try to play in flip-flops next week,
right,
but they're not following him anywhere. They're not on board. His message is not resonating.
Right.
And you see that already right now. Their defense looks shaky.
Mm-hmm.
The hits principle, you know, I don't know which of those individual letters they're checking off right now. There were a lot of really bad penalties today, really avoidable penalties today. I don't think that they're on board with him. Everybody's got money to play for.
Right.
And everyone's still got a boss, by the way, in Ryan Poles.
Sure.
But I don't think they're on board with Matt Eberflus, and I don't think his message is making any difference with them at this point.
Yeah.
Supposedly his message after this was not, hey, guys, sorry about the oopsie-doo on the timeouts there. It was, we got to stick together. Right. And I in fact, Cole Kmet said in his post-game media availability that, like, that just doesn't mean anything. We want to win.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're adults. They get paid. Jason, maybe we'll be back real soon. Maybe we won't be back real soon. Who knows? We will certainly keep an eye on what happens at Halas Hall Thursday night and Friday morning. Otherwise, the players are off this weekend, and the coaches, I think, were at least getting some time off.
Well, they might get, some of them might get a lot of time off. It's very possible.
Anyway, until then, you can follow Jason and myself on social media. Check out Mark Potash as well. And if you live in Chicago, buy a paper. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.